Father, this morning we come to you. Let the entrance of your word continue to bring light. Your word is light. The first words recorded that you spoke is, let there be light. Let it continue to dispel the darkness in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, that we may walk in that light, that we may have fellowship with you and with one another. Because our fellowship is entirely dependent upon that light. So touch our hearts. We lay all our burdens at your feet. We speak to our own souls, be at peace. Do not be anxious, O my soul. Trust in the Lord. We speak to our own minds, focus. The Lord is here in our midst. Speak to us. Teach us, Spirit of God. Because that's who you are. The heavenly counselor. Prepare us. For the kingdom draweth closer every second. We thank you, Lord, that we have the liberty, the freedom to gather, to worship, to learn. We thank you, Lord, for every day of liberty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Remember, we've been focusing on the kingdom. The kingdom of God. Perspective. This will determine how you see things. Somebody said if your concepts are wrong, your conclusion will be wrong. The gospel was always about the kingdom. And we've been looking at prayer. Remember, we've been looking at prayer. We first saw how not to pray. Then how to pray. Because that's one thing they asked Jesus. Teach us to pray. And then Jesus said, and it's just a format. That's not a prayer. It's a format. It's a good prayer, but that's where you have to fill it. He said, this is how you need to pray. In Matthew 6, verse 9 and 10. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We saw that first. Our Father in heaven is an address. The second one was, is where the petition begins. Hallowed be thy name. It's not an address. It's a petition. And we saw over days, over weeks. We still have not exhausted what it means to hallow his name. The power of that name. And then, your kingdom come. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your name, your kingdom, your will. Long before any of our needs are even mentioned. The priorities are different. When God tells us how to pray, our priorities are not his priorities. He says his name, his kingdom, and his will. He says focus on these three. Like I said last week, the raw material for prayer is not need. It's purpose. In the world, the raw material for prayer is need. It's all need based. But in the kingdom, its purpose, your name, your kingdom, your will. The most influential people on earth are not political leaders or any of the stars we see in the media, sports. Most influential people on earth are people who can pray and get heaven to intervene on the affairs of earth. That's what it means, thy kingdom come. So we need to recalibrate, okay? Recalibrate our mind back to the kingdom. In Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, the gospel here is called the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, he's the king. So the gospel is about him and his kingdom. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I sent my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Okay. The gospel of Jesus Christ. But what was the gospel that Jesus preached? Let's go to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. In those days, he's the precursor, the one who will come. John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. This is the message he preached. By the way, the screen is not working. Okay, saying, yeah, verse 2. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay. Now please remember, the first word of the gospel is the word repent. It's a very radical word. Our problem is we have connected repentance only to sin and sorrow. Repent means you have to radically change the way you think. If you don't, Jesus said, you will perish. You will perish. If you don't change the way you think, you will perish. So repent means change the way you think. Okay? Where there is sin, there is, of course, there is sorrow and changing. But generally, repent means to change the way you think. So this is the message. This is the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's very close. Now, if you look at verse 4, 5, and 6, you will see the response to this message. It's a simple message. Okay? Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, all the region around Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. The simple question you need to ask is this. Why was there such a tremendous response to such a simple message? This is a man standing in the wilderness, in the desert, and the Bible says Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around Jordan went out to him. Went out to him. Repented, got baptized. And the question we need to ask is, what was the reason? The reason was one statement in that message. The kingdom of heaven is near. That's what caused the crowds to come. Because that word struck a chord in the entire Hebrew society. This is what was promised to them. This is what promised in Deuteronomy 30, which is called the Palestinian covenant God had made with them. When are you returned from the captivity? The restoration of the kingdom. The covenant he had made with the house of David. The prophets had declared. Isaiah had declared. Daniel had seen it in Daniel 2 and verse 44. He says, in the time of the kingdoms, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever.
This was one set of people on earth to whom the promise of the king and the kingdom was given. And the culmination of this was supposed to be this week. That is what happened this Sunday 2000 years ago. All of them so excited. It was a mob frenzy. With those palm leaves in their hands. Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! But they didn't understand. The kingdom was going to come in two phases. And a few days later they will say, we have no other king but Caesar, not him. Why was there so much excitement? Why did they all come? It's because of the promised kingdom. That was in their entire mindset. King is coming. The kingdom is going to overthrow this Roman Empire. And he's going to establish David's kingdom. And we are going to be free. One statement. The last words in their history. Before John steps, 400 years of silence before John steps, their last prophet had prophesied in Malachi, chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. They knew Elijah would come and he would prepare the way. That was the last prophecy they had. And after 400 years of silence, just go back to Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 1 verse 7 and 8. Behold, he said to them, what kind of a man was it who came to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, a hairy man wearing a leather belt around his waist. And he said, it's Elijah the Tishbite. Few thousand years later, fast forward, there is another man standing in the desert and saying, repent, the kingdom of God is near. Now look at Matthew 3 and verse 4, what is written? John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. It was like history was happening before their eyes. Elijah was standing before them and declaring the kingdom. Can understand their excitement. The crowds. The kingdom. That's why the crowds came. That's why the crowds came. When we were coming in, they were going from the top holding the coconut leaves. Hosanna to the king of. They have no clue what they are doing. This is religion. All around the world, it's religion. Procession stick. It's religion. People don't understand the gospel. And if you don't understand the gospel, we repeat the same mistakes the Jews made. The last question Jesus was asked before he ascended. 40 days, resurrection, taught his disciples about the kingdom of God. The last question they asked him in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? That's their whole mind was around it. That's why Jesus, when he sent his disciples first, when he was before he died, when he sent, he said, do not go to the town of the Samaritans. Do not go to the Gentiles. Go to the lost sheep of Israel and preach to them the gospel about the kingdom. Because they don't know. They have nothing in their memory bank about a kingdom, no hope about that. Just go to the children of Israel, because they have been prepared. So speak to them. So the last question they ask also before he arises is this. Is your kingdom going to be now? Is it coming now? Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Who is this? Peter, John, James, they're all asking this question. Listen to Jesus' answer. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But, he says, it's not for you to know when this will happen. But instead, if you wait in Jerusalem, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. He said, no, Wait here. You will receive power. Once you receive power, your whole life will change. You will become witnesses of this king and this kingdom. Your life's purpose will change. But like the Jews, misunderstood the message, we too can. The king, the kingdom, and the people. So this morning, first ask a question. Am I a kingdom person or am I a religious Christian? Because the gospel is a gospel about the kingdom of God. It's an eternal kingdom. When the Bible begins, it's an interesting book. I said, so interesting the way it begins. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's how the Bible begins. So in the beginning, you have the beginning of the kingdom. And God is there before the beginning. Okay, God is there. But in the beginning, when he created the heavens and the earth, the eternal kingdom began. And the eternal kingdom is divided into two. Visible, invisible. The heavens and the earth. Even in the heavens, there is the visible and the invisible. I was explaining to the Nepali church, like how simple it is. Everything that we see, feel, understand, exists primarily in three forms of matter. We call it solid, liquid, and gas, right? Three forms. Don't forget about the fourth form of plasma and all those who you have 45-inch plasma TV doesn't know what plasma is. So forget that. But ideally, everything exists in three forms of matter. Material realm. Solid, liquid, or gas. Even the stars which you see going around are gases on fire. That's how suddenly they disappear. They just change their form. Okay? God created everything. Visible universe was created out of matter. The invisible universe is not created of matter because it is spirit. It's not created of matter. Okay? And you know it is true. Can you tell me what does your mind look like? Your soul is not made of matter. So when God begins creation, let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be, he's creating everything out of matter. But the divergence comes when he creates man. He doesn't go to matter first. He goes into himself first. He doesn't go to matter first. He uses matter to create this outer body. But he goes to himself first and he says in 126, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Like I said, this is the most defining words in the Bible about us. So unlike the rest of the visible creation, where he created just by the word of his mouth from matter, when it came to us, he didn't go to matter first, he went to himself first. So let us make man in our image and in our likeness. That's what fundamentally makes us different. That's the reason you're sitting and listening to me. And there are no animals here. Okay. And this is what religious people do not understand, why you should not worship a cow or a tiger or a lion or anything, because they do not understand the difference. And the Bible is the only authentic book in the entire world is the Bible. So when he created us, he used matter, the outward form, but he went into himself. So 2:7 will say he breathed into us, formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. That was his image. So it's important when he breathed into us, his spirit came into us and we were created in his image and in his likeness. And our job
was to establish God's kingdom on earth. And it has never changed. And in salvation, God is restoring that by saying, thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The mandate is being given back. That mandate is being given back. And most people do not even understand it. That when you got saved, what came in was the kingdom came in. And the increase of his government and peace, there should be no end. The mandate has been given to everyone to establish the kingdom inside first. And then outside. When he comes a second time. That's why if you don't go to the beginning, we will live lives without purpose. And most people I meet are Christian people, not unbelievers. Unbelievers have purpose. Temporal purpose. So they are very focused. At the end of the day, it is useless. But they are focused. Christians are neither here nor there. Okay. So you will be miserable, guaranteed, until you discover purpose. You will be miserable until you discover purpose. You have to discover purpose. You have to find your place in God's plan. And once you discover, it ceases only at your last breath. Unlike in the temporal realm. You have to discover. Because that's the kingdom. So when God says, this is how you need to pray, you are actually praying to discover your purpose. But that's not how we actually pray. We pray for needs. And God says, no, needs are connected to purpose. Don't invert it. Don't invert it. So we know what happened in Genesis 3. Adam fell. And what he lost was the image and the likeness and the dominion. He lost all three. Handed it over to somebody else who usurped it from him. And the Bible says, the entire world is ruled by the enemy, the devil. How does he rule? Through man. If you read later about Seth, the Bible will say Adam brought forth a son in his own image and likeness. Okay. And likeness. So like I keep repeating, God had two choices. Destroy them or redeem them. He chose to redeem us. That's why we sing all these songs. Because he chose to redeem us and not destroy us. So Christ came. And this is that ultimate week of redemption. But he came to redeem the people first. Not earth. So in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3, when John came preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, in verse 3, he goes to the person. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So when he was preaching the kingdom, he was talking about the king. He was talking about the king. Because wherever the king comes, the kingdom comes with him. And he says the message is so radical, you will have to change your entire mindset. To bring this message, because he is the first one to bring this message, repent, the kingdom of God is here. To prepare this man for this message, he had to be isolated probably for around 25 years. This is what is written about him in Luke chapter 1 verse 80. For a message, this kind of a message, how the messenger was prepared. So you need to understand how radical this message is. So the child grew and became strong in the spirit and was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to Israel.
isolated from the society. He was kept away from the two structures that define our society, any society. One is called government, the other is called religion. These two structures is what controls every country. This young boy, when he was probably very young, he was isolated from that and he grew up in the wilderness, eating locusts and honey. That neither the governments of this world or the religious structure of your world should enter into your conscious mind, because you're going to be given a message which is so radical. That was John. And when he was manifested, the way it is written, when he was, the day of his manifestation, when he was manifested, look at how he is manifested, how it is written. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene. What is this? Government. Next verse. Ananias and Caiaphas were high priests. What is that? Religion. The word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. It just cut through the government and the religious structure, went to a man in the wilderness and gave him the message, your time for manifestation has come. Go and declare the kingdom. If it is so radical and important for God, the question is, how radical and important it is for us to understand this concept that what is brought is not a new religion. What is brought is the kingdom of God, the kingdom that rules over everything else. And every passing second, every passing moment, the kingdom is getting closer and closer and closer and closer. And unless you get the kingdom into your mind, you won't understand the four gospels. You won't even understand the epistles. Because it is all written keeping the kingdom in the background. It's preparing a people for the kingdom that's coming. And it is forever and ever. And the first word of the kingdom is, change the way you think. You have to get into a Hebrew mind to think what John is saying. Okay. Listen to what John is saying in the gospel according to John. John 1 verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What did he say? He looked at Jesus and see, he himself doesn't understand what he's saying. You need to understand, prophets don't understand prophecy. Okay, don't understand. If the word of the Lord, word of prophecy comes to me and suddenly I says, behold, the Lord says there is somebody here and this is what, I will not have no clue who it is unless I get the name and what is it about, but the only the person who receives it will know. So when he says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of this world. But when he is saying it, you need to understand what he is doing. He is breaking down thousands of years of Jewish religious structure. If he is the one who is going to take away the sins of the world, that means the entire temple structure is going to be destroyed. It will have no more meaning anymore. For that, you Jewish mind, your mind has to radically change. Everything you have built, your entire structure, is going to be demolished. Because he is the Lamb of God. It's not easy to receive the kingdom. It's not easy. Because the entire structure is built on that. Bulls and goats and sheep and doves. Peace offering and sacrifice and gold and silver. The entire temple had become a merchandise. Millions and millions of animals had been slaughtered over the years. Then this young 30-year-old young man dressed strangely looks and says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world.
And what he's talking is salvation. The first word of salvation is redemption. First word of salvation is redemption. And Peter will put it across this way. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. What is that? Religion. Religion doesn't give you purpose. It doesn't give you aim. Only the kingdom can give you aim. It doesn't give you aim. Because religion means you can do whatever you want. You can choose your own career. You can choose whatever you want. Religion doesn't oppose it. All you have to be is religious. Come to the temple, put your offerings, go to the mosque, do your stuff, go to church, do your stuff, go out, pick yours. But the kingdom doesn't allow that. So when you have to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and hallowed be thy name, it is radical. You're talking about something that changes everything. Already young people are staring at me. You mean I cannot pick my career? No, you cannot. You cannot pick your career in the kingdom. God does. The king does. And Jesus was acting like a king. He looked around. He looked at the crowds and he looked around and he saw a couple of fishermen. You, follow me. Left and followed him. Tax booth. You, follow me. Left a career and followed him. You, go there. You, go there. You, go there. This week, you'll go to a place, you'll see a young one of a donkey, untie it, they ask, say the Lord needs it. Like I said, we don't even understand what kingdom is. It's absolute. It's sovereign. It is the will of the king. Then why doesn't God tell me what is my career? Because you haven't surrendered yet. Each day you go on your knees and one day you will know you have surrendered. And then you will hear, this is what I want you to do. It may be the same thing. It may be completely different. But he chooses. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to the Lord. This is your reasonable act of sacrifice. Do not conform to the pattern of the world. For a young man, 30-year-old man, to give this one-line message, not to conform to the pattern of the world, God shut him in the wilderness for 30 years. Eat locusts and honey. Do not conform to the pattern of the world. By the renewing of the mind, you shall know what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. He understood. The time for manifestation has come. One word message. Repent, the kingdom of God is near. Kingdom of God is near. It's not an easy message. It's a radical message. Yet it is the most life-fulfilling message. You have purpose. Everything is destined. Everything is decided. And all that you need in life is added to that purpose. So we were not redeemed, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Behold the Lamb of God. The writer of Hebrews will put it around this way. Knowing that you were not redeemed with... Yeah. Did I give it? Hebrews 9, 11 and 12. Bright Christ came as high priest of good things to come with greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, with his own blood he entered the most holy place, once for all having obtained eternal redemption. Look at those two verses. Blood of goats and calves, bulls, no. Gold and silver, no. Then what will the temple people do? Priests are jobless. The entire tribe of Levi is jobless. What will they do?
Do you understand what that message means? What will the other 11 tribes do? Who will they go to? So what you see today is just Passion Week. It is religion. It is not religion that is ushering the kingdom. So when we say, thy kingdom come, people do not know what it means. John, not this John, the other John, one day will see the vision in heaven. If you were following the Revelation study, he sees the future going to be unsealed. The problem is there is this scroll. And the scroll, it is written both sides. And it's sealed with seven seals. But nobody has been found worthy in heaven to open the seal. And John starts weeping. And when he starts weeping, one of the elders says, do not weep. Behold, the Lamb has been found worthy. And he's around and he sees Jesus. And he looks like a lamb that has been slain. And this is what is written. I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders. See, you have to understand, this is not our dimension. Our dimension is different. We know what's our length, breadth, this thing. In the midst of the throne, what kind of a construction is that? Midst of the throne. So we are moving into a dimension which we don't understand. This is a spiritual realm. It's a different realm altogether. In the midst of the throne. And the elder stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came. The lamb is a person. He came, took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. It's all there. Which prayers? The prayers which was according to that format. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is heaven. God says, these prayers are going to be answered very soon. Open the seals. And you will see how the kingdom is going to come. And verse 9. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain, have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue and people and nation. For what? Verse 10 says, our destiny. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. The earth was given to man forever. The earth. So all those who have by faith entered into the kingdom of God, like when you go tomorrow back to school, college, 5 days a week, 6 days a week, 8 hours a day, you are breaking your head for a career in the world. But when you come to church, you want a 20-minute service. Without realizing, you are preparing, being prepared to enter the royal civil service forever. That's the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is for people who have entered into the kingdom, or the kingdom has entered into them, who has been born of the Spirit, to prepare a people so they can become his kings and priests and reign on the earth forever. And if that doesn't excite you, nothing else will. Go watch Disney. If that doesn't excite you, and for that you are not willing to struggle. Ask Pastor Vijay how he struggled to clear IIT, JEE. Now what all people do for a career? IIT Kanpur. IIT Delhi guy is sitting in the jail now. His wife is reading his message. She is also from IIT. Mockery of democracy. But for that, what all people do for a simple career in the world? And here God is offering his children something. And he says, come, learn How to become that? That's what the church is. Because unless we radically change our thinking, we will enter into religion, and after some time, you will, the day of freedom you think is comes when I don't have to go to church anymore. That's a lot of how young people think. I don't have to go to church anymore. Okay? And then, when I go to church, I'll go to a church where the sermon is not longer than 20 minutes. What you did, you went back to religion. In religion, there is only death. There is no life in religion. Because Christ did not bring any religion. What he brought is a kingdom and a government. Learn of me. I am meek and what should I take? What should you take? Take my, what's his yoke? Where is the yoke put? The government is upon his shoulders. What is the yoke? His government. Take my yoke, that's my government, upon your shoulders and learn of me. Unlike the governments of this world, he says, my government is light. Unlike the governments of this world, my government is light on your shoulders. It doesn't make demands like the governments of this world. You don't need to buy electoral bonds in that government. You don't need to bribe in that government. That's the government. That is the kingdom. So start changing. Start changing. It's not here. Like I said, the government is, see, this is a very, very created atmosphere. Especially when summer comes, everything is shut, the curtains also drawn, AC, nice, comfort, you feel like a classroom, you study. But once this is over, the government really starts working. Are you still, is the government that is controlling your thinking? Is that the government? So the first word of salvation is redemption. You have to be redeemed. And we are redeemed only by his blood and nothing else. Okay. Nothing else. We are redeemed by his blood. So they were very excited 2000 years ago. Oh, they threw their palm leaves and robes, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. A few days later, crucify him. Because they realize the kingdom was not coming the way they thought it was coming. Because first he had to redeem the person before the place could be ready. Before the kingdom, the visible, actual kingdom could come down. The people had to be prepared. So right now we are a people being prepared for a kingdom that is coming. The second word of salvation after redemption is reconciliation. You know, but recap. 5 and verse 10, Romans 5 and verse 10. For even when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Reconciliation, first by his death, and even more every day by his life. Let me tell you, the most important word in the second work of salvation, reconciliation, is change. And all the struggles you are facing is that you refuse to change. All of you, look straight into my eyes. Okay, don't look here and there. Especially young people, look into my eyes. Let me honestly ask you. Aren't you very comfortable tomorrow when you go into your classrooms and your offices? You know why? Because you don't have to be a kingdom person there. Change is not required. That's, you are very comfortable. You dress like one. You walk like one. You talk like one. You act like one. Therefore, even though we are redeemed, we are not reconciled. Reconciliation is a relationship term. In your marriages, that's the problem. Husband will say, my wife is not changing. Wife will say, my husband is changing. Without change, reconciliation cannot take place.
without me changing, I cannot be reconciled to God. Every day when you pray, you feel like God is so far away. Though you are redeemed and you are actually saved. The second part of salvation is not working because yes, we were first reconciled by the death of his son, but now we have to be reconciled by his life. And what you are hearing and what you are being taught is the life of Christ. The more the life of Christ becomes my life, I'm reconciled to God. The Son of God came to live. He lived the life of his father. So he said, my father is always with me. He has never left me. Because I always do what pleases him. We struggle with the second one. That is reconciliation. And every relationship issue is got to do with the second part. Reconciliation. You cannot be reconciled unless you change. Unless you change. Remember the prodigal son? Farther and further and further and further as he was going, he felt, I am free, I am free. And the money was jingling in his pocket. I am free, I am free, and I am free. And he had a blast. He had a blast. Let me ask the young people today. All of you are making money. One way or other, you are making money. How many of you save? How many of you tithe? You don't have to tell me. Just tell yourself. The first 2 years in my life when I worked in 1988-89, I didn't even finish spending my first salary. So if you are not saving and you are not tithing, you're a prodigal. You're a prodigal. You're a prodigal. That's why I said last week, success can be predicted. Because everything is based on loss. Everything is based on loss. Get these things fundamentals right. Even the little ones, the Abigails and the Johans and the Johans and the Sarahs. If your parents give you 100 rupees as pocket money, not for doing chores. I don't believe for doing chores in your house you should get pocket money. No, then your mother should be paid more. And she doesn't get paid to do all that work. So you shouldn't be get paid to do your chores. But you should get pocket money. If you get pocket money, learn to give from that straight away. Understand how the kingdom works. You will never regret in your life. If you get this principle straight, you become a kingdom person. Because in the kingdom, not in the world, in the kingdom, the law is there. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Straight away, learn. First pocket money, I'm turned 13. I got my first pocket money, 50 rupees. Put it in. Put it in. And be consistent. Because in the kingdom, consistency matters. You will realize the kingdom kick back. The kingdom works. It's got power. Its laws overrule every other law. Famine won't bother you. Pestilence won't bother you. 1,000 may fall at one side, 10,000 on the other side. But that famine that comes through midday, if you have to survive all these things, you need to understand how does the kingdom work. Kingdom work. We are not talking religion here. Religion has no power to do anything. It has only the power to demand. It does not have the power to help you. Only the kingdom has the power. So death and life change the inner man.
If you listened to last night's Q&A, we had questions. I don't know where these questions are coming from. Around the world they are coming from. People listening, sending questions. And you have no questions because you have all the answers. So you're very wise like Solomon. Homes. There are many homes seated over here. Husbands, wives, husbands seated differently together. Do you know how simple it is? If two of you agree on anything on earth, shall be done in heaven. Do you understand the power of agreement? Do you know that the devil knows the power of agreement? That's why he creates confusion and conflicts in marriages, because he doesn't want you to agree. Do you know almost all your needs, you may, actual family needs, what you need for your home, for your children, which are all normal, kosher, there's no issues with any of that, can be easily answered through prayer if you are able to agree. Either you believe what the king said, or you don't believe. He said, if you two of you agree on anything on earth. I'm not asking scary questions. Because I don't want scary answers. Questions like, how many of you couples pray every day? Don't want to ask. See, don't complicate. This is not religion. Like I said, one of the things about Jesus Christ is that you will never see him in his personal life when he walked on earth praying with anybody. He prayed for people. He never prayed with anybody. It was simply because he was the different person, the only kingdom person walking on earth. So he did not find anybody to agree with. So he prayed with the Spirit and the Father, and they three agreed. Everything he prayed happened. He never prayed outside the will of his Father. And even his last prayer, he said very clearly, Father, your will and not mine. So the prayer was answered. Father said, my will, not yours. Okay, it's no. The son said, it's okay, it's fine. I only want your will. God said, you do not have because you do not ask. And if you ask, you ask amiss. So if you are not asking amiss, you should be receiving it. And if you are not receiving it, it's probably because you are not able to agree. I'm just making it very simple. For us, typically, our new year should begin on April 1st or March 31st, because that's when he rose again. That's the beginning of the Lord's Day, the new creation he started. So you got a week. If there are people here whose spouses don't believe, that's okay. Your child believes. You two agree. You two agree. So the second word is reconciliation. The more you reconcile to God, the more you reconcile to one another, the power of agreement is in the power of agreement. You have to look at this and Jesus, did you really mean this? The prayer of a righteous man, the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man of like passions, just like us. And he prayed, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And he prayed, it rained again. One man. This is a prayer of one righteous man. Now you take two. If two of you agree on anything, it shall be done in heaven. Think about it. Should motivate you towards reconciling. Addressing your differences. Talk it out. Don't sweep it under the carpet. Talk it out. Talk it out. And don't get offended when you talk to one another. Because this is about the kingdom. It's not about you. This is about the destiny of your children. Not about you. This is about your place in eternity. This is not anything temporal. Because we have not been given the key to the kingdom. Because there is no such king. We have been given the keys of the kingdom. The most powerful key of the kingdom is prayer. And the most powerful facet about prayer is agreement. So when Elijah was able to pray and lock up heaven because he was absolutely in agreement with what God wanted on earth. So God said, I found one man who is in agreement with me. We too will agree and get it done on earth. The power of agreement. That's what it means. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because there is no discord in heaven. Absolute oneness. Agreement. Change the way you think. Change the way you pray. Change the way you pray. Should encourage you to spend more and more and more time in your prayer closet. Because you will see things changing, things happening. Because that's what God is looking for. So let's start at your home. And the third word of salvation, after redemption, reconciliation, the third word is the word we've been looking at, restoration. Restoration. In Acts chapter 3, this is how the Bible records, verse 19 onwards. First is talking about redemption. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing through which you are reconciled comes from the presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive. He must be there in heaven until the times of restoration of all things. He cannot come down until a lot of things are restored here. Whose job is that? The church's job. The job of the church is to restore the people. Once the people are ready, he will come. The restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Okay. First the people. Then the place comes down. Heaven comes down. First heaven came down into our own hearts and our souls. That's why we sing that beautiful hymn. I remember that's one of the first hymns, songs I learned when I got saved 40 years. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. The day I will never forget. Most people have forgotten that day. Have you? I think it was October 23rd, 1984. The day I will never forget. I went to sleep after managing to pray and get rid of that guy who gave me the gospel. Went to sleep. Wretched sinner. Woke up and I didn't realize I was not the same person. Something had happened. For the first day, first time, I didn't want to go to college. The first time, I wanted to read the Good News Bible. The next 3 days, three weeks, all I read was the Good News Bible. So even in the church library, when I see the Good News Bible, I have one in my library also. I look at it and said, oh, you old Good News Bible, I still remember you. How can I forget you? I began with you. The Good News Bible. The day of redemption. To the restoration of all things. It's restoring. Please understand, 2000 years ago, they didn't want that. They wanted the kingdom straight away. That's why they rejected their king. Restore. Restore. God is restoring us back. I don't know which day I said. Because every day, practically, we are preaching, so we get. As soon as man fell, God came that day evening. Adam fled. Eve close behind. I don't know who ran faster. And they were hiding. Adam, Adam, where are you? He gives, I was afraid. I was naked. God asks the second question. Who told you? Did you eat from that tree? I told you not to eat. His answer, the woman you gave. Okay. Woman, the snake. Fast forward to next generation. Where is your brother? I'm my brother's keeper. Okay. If God has to restore anything, the first step is take personal responsibility. If you don't take responsibility, he cannot restore. My wife, that snake, my husband, my father, my mother, that class teacher. No, he says, take responsibility. Because he has to restore. Because there are only two Adams. Adam is a generic name, like Colgate, like toothpaste. First Adam, last Adam. First Adam, all of that first Adam refused to take responsibility. Last Adam comes and says, I take responsibility for all what they did. So if you are part of the first Adam, you won't take responsibility. If you are part of the second Adam, you will take responsibility for what you didn't do also. Because he did. Then God can restore. Then God can restore. That is how you know you are spiritually mature. And there was strife between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. And there were Canaanites and Perizzites in the land at that time. Abraham looked. And he came, humbled himself. And he came to his bhatija, his nephew, and said, we are brethren. You may take first choice. If you go right, I will go left. If you go left, I will go right. You choose. What is he doing? I take responsibility for this conflict. Let us part amicably. Terms you choose. Whichever term you choose, it's acceptable to me. Because we are living in the land of Gentiles and his name is at stake. Hallowed be thy name. We are the only two people who is holding God's testimony here. No blame game. If God has to restore, that's the way it works. Oh, the reason I am here, sold as a slave, is because my brothers hated me. No. My brothers hated me. They sold me. But right now I see where I am. And I know my God is with me. So I'm going to do the best I can in this situation. Oh, that lady accused me, that wicked lady accused me falsely. Husband did not give me a hearing, threw me into prison. All these people, nothing. If this is where I am, this is what I'm going to do. Therefore, God is able to restore everything to him. Because you alone are responsible for your life, nobody else. When we stand before God, we stand alone. That's how restoration takes place. And God is able to restore all things. And we saw what God is trying to actually restore us to. Genesis 1:26. I told you the picture. We need to have that format, that template. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let him have dominion. Restore. First, he has to restore us back to his image. What was our original image? We don't even know. I taught last week. God is holy. That's who he is. Revelation 4:8. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." This is all for our sake. From there, it's speaking to earth. There is no day or night there. There is no us or is to come there. But for our sake, he says, that is who he is. Holy is who is. Righteous is how he does everything. We won't understand this until the end of our days, if we understand even then. Look at Deuteronomy 32, 3 and 4. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are justice or righteousness. Holy is he. Righteous is how he does his things. What is his image? He's holy. How does he do things? All his ways are righteous. Why does he do things? Because he is love. Everything, the entire creation is because of love. Creation, redemption, new creation, everything. Why does he do things? How does he do things? Righteously. Why does he do things? Because he is love. So this is his image. God is holy. God is righteous. God is love. God says, I'm restoring you to that image. That is, Adam, what you are supposed to replicate over the whole earth. Be fruitful, multiply, have power, subdue, and have dominion. Eden was like what we see, like a nursery. And this nursery was to be supplanted across the length and breadth of the earth. Adam and his progeny. This is what God is going to do in the new, in the 1,000-year-old reign. When Jesus comes back, the earth will be a mess. Absolute mess. We have not seen anything like that. Read from chapter 8, 9 onwards, or Revelation onwards, when the judgments begin, what is going to happen to this earth? 4 billion people are dead and gone. Cities are in ruins. The oceans are gone. Half of vegetation is gone. There is no trees. There is no grass. The fish have died. Everything is dead. It's absolute total mess. At the end of it, he will come back. And he will restore. It will flow from Jerusalem. He will show what we were supposed to do. And he's preparing a set of people for that, who will rule along with him. The nations will be there, unsaved nations will be there, therefore he will rule with a rod of iron. But he needs people of caliber. And his first nature is holy. I didn't give it to you. I'm not sure I gave it to you. Go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 5 and 6. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Verse 6. Blessed and? If you need to be part of the first resurrection and reign with Jesus Christ on the earth for 1,000 years, be sure you're holy. Otherwise you have to wait another 1,000 years. Because holy is he. That's why God says, be holy, because I am holy. There's a positional holiness in which we have entered. But he says, now grow. Grow in it. Grow in it. Grow in it. Because this is to what we are aspiring for. Holy. Righteous is he. There is a righteousness that comes by faith and faith alone. Why do we preach faith? Because there is a righteousness that comes by faith and faith alone. So you become holy. You become righteous.
Nothing matters, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. Only one thing matters in the kingdom, faith that works through love. If you have faith that can move mountains and create all kind of these things, but if you do not have love, you are an empty gong. So he says, better be sure that your faith works through love. So if you have these three things, God says, you're ready to reign with me. Because you have allowed my spirit to change you inside to the image of God. You need to be very selfish in this race. Like people are in competitive exams. There is a selfishness in. Even if the other person doesn't want reconciliation, I want reconciliation. I don't want you being a stumbling block to my race. So I will come and make peace with you even if I have to knock you on the head for that. Don't let the devil short circuit you in your homes, in your offices. Because what at stake is eternity. That is his image. That God is a spirit, invisible. So what did he do? He sent his son. Stepped down into our time, our realm, and our kind of body. Colossians 1 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And verse 19 says, in him, the fullness of God should dwell. I like Hebrews 1:3 better. I mean, not better. He has spoken in his last days through his son. And you know what verse 3 says? Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. We say God's image. What does God look like? God is a spirit. He doesn't have an image. God says, look at my son. Look at my son. That's his image. That's why I tell people, read the Gospels over and over and over and over and over again. Every word Jesus speaks, try to go through it and keep asking the Holy Spirit, even when he speaks, Lord, what kind of tone would he have used? Try to imagine. When he was sitting by the well side and the Samaritan woman came, what tone did you use with that? When he was sitting and is there no one who condemned you? What tone did he use? Because you need an image to what you want to become. And that's Jesus. The person. So when we are thinking about, because otherwise life doesn't make sense. You see, if you go to Romans 8, verse 28 and 29, let me tell you. The problem is most Christians have been formatted only for blessings. They have not been formatted for adversity. Only for blessings. Because we have been preached a blessings gospel and we were never prepared for adversity. It was Shakespeare who said, sweet are the uses of adversity. He had more sense than today's preachers. Okay. If you take Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter about faith, you start from the first martyr called Abel onwards all the way down. You look at each one of these people. What frames them? Adversity. Abel is the first one to die for his faith. Enoch in his entire generation has to walk alone with God. Noah has to build alone an ark for the saving of his family and watch everyone else perish. Abraham has to leave the Ur of the Chaldeans and the Haran where the rest of the family is and walk in a land where he will not possess any field except a burial ground, and he will walk the land for 100 years.
Isaac will keep on moving because the Philistines will take his land and his Philistines and his wells and will not lift a hand to protect himself. And Jacob will wrestle with the angels so that he can become Israel. Moses will say no, 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 no to everything this world will offer. Look at the list over there. What made them? Adversity. Adversity. That's what it says. All things. We know all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are those who are called to his purpose. What is his purpose? That we may be conformed to the image of his son. Image of his son. And every one of those people, whether it is Abel or Enoch or Noah or Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Moses, everyone is giving us one little template of Jesus Christ. One little image of Jesus. Because in their own lifetime, they were knowingly, unknowingly surrendering to the Spirit of God to be conformed to the image of his son. That's purpose. And that is adversity. All things. All things. Everything. And of course, the greatest picture in the Bible is Joseph. Joseph is the greatest picture. Everything turned around for his good. And when you see him finally seated on the throne, he's a loving, kind, compassionate, merciful, righteous, holy young man. Like I said last night, by the time he's 40 years old, he's a father to his father. He's a father to his elder brothers. He's a father to a nation. What does 1 John say? Fathers, you have known him from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, he said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. And fathers, you have known him. What that image is. It matters. Otherwise, all the problems you go through in life will not make sense. And you will want to quit. And God says, don't quit. Don't give up. Even if nothing is changing around, if something is changing inside, you're still successful. In the kingdom perspective, it is still working. That's what it means, thy kingdom come. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 47 to 49. 1 Corinthians 15. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. As is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. That should be our destiny. Lord, I want to bear the image of that heavenly man. We are asking to be restored to that image. Not that Pharisaical, religious holiness which condemns everybody. True holiness like Jesus. Not legalistic righteousness. Fights with everybody. Everybody is a sinner except you. Condemns everybody. Walking in genuine love that keeps no record of evil. Suffers evil yet is kind. Do you get the difference? Because genuine kingdom people don't isolate themselves. It's the Pharisees who isolate themselves. You are not of the world. Yes, but I'm not taking you out of the world. I'm sending you into the world. The world may have a problem with you, but you don't have a problem with the world. The Pharisee's holiness was calculated according to the number of bumps he had on his forehead.
Because if he sees anything he thinks unclean, he will close his eyes and walk and knock his head on the nearest tree. The more bumps, the more holy. That's why they didn't understand Jesus. Your master is always eating and drinking with sinners. Sinners got sanctified in his presence. Image. Separated and sent out. Holy, righteous, and loving. That's his image. Likeness, the Lord thy God is one. Earlier, we were one with the world. We were one. I was one with the world. When I sinned, if I was not caught, I was never guilty. Did not know what that sensation was. I was like Mark Twain. Mark Twain says, when he was a young boy, he saw a cart of apples and he went and picked one apple and he bit into it. When he bit into it, strange sensation came upon him. So he put it back and took a ripe one. The sensation was the first apple was raw. Okay, it was not guilt. Okay. So we were one with the world. Absolutely no issues in the mind. Only if we ever prayed, the only prayer was, let me not be caught. And whichever God answered that prayer, I will give you what you require. Me at that age, in a teenage, was willing to go to Sabarimala if my grandfather had allowed me. He said no. I don't know why he said no. He said no. Nobody from our house goes there. I said okay. We were single-minded. No issues. The problem is we got saved. Once we got saved, we split. World and kingdom. Many are still split. That's your problem. Double-minded. That's why God says you do not have because you do not ask. When you ask, you amiss. You ask with religious lips for the carnal heart. That's our problem. He says, you ask amiss, you ask wrong. So we were once one, then we split, we became double-minded. Now God is trying to make us single-minded on this side. The kingdom, thy will, one mind. Jesus puts it across beautifully. Matthew 6 and verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body will be full of light. He says the light of the body is your eyes. It's your eyes. How do you see? He says you need to be single-minded. Thy kingdom, thy will, once it becomes, you see, if you look at Jesus, you are so absolutely single-minded. My Father, my His kingdom, His will. Single-minded, the eye. How do you see? Like I said, you don't see with your eyes alone. You see with your heart and with your mind. That's why God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You will start seeing. You will start understanding life. You will start the reason for things that happened in your life and is happening in your life. You will start seeing because I is single. You will see church differently. I love Acts chapter 2 where the church begins. I love. Always my dream is one day, Lord, let our church become like that. One day, Lord. And there is one verse there in Acts chapter 2, verse 46. 2:46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and sing singleness of heart. Is your heart single today? What a church. What a church. Single. Everybody has one purpose. Thy name, thy kingdom, thy will. Singleness of heart. Single. Because the Lord thy God is one. Single minded. And all of you will go to work tomorrow to your workplaces. How are you at your workplace? Ephesians 6:5 and Colossians 3. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. That's how Joseph worked in Potiphar's house and the prison. He was not working for Potiphar. He saw Christ. I'm working for Christ. Singleness. Singleness. You need to have that singleness. When you go to work, you have a master. Yes, you have a boss. Yes, doesn't matter. But you are working there for Christ. I thank God I went to work in the secular realm only after I got saved. So I went to work for Christ. Work for Christ. And I enjoyed my years in the secular realm. I don't know why people say, no, exhausted by work. They don't like going to office. I loved my workplace. I loved my workplace. It used to be interesting. When I walk down the corridor, my principal will see me and say, Sir James, is it you? I said, yes, sir. Are you free? I said, come here, sir. Please sit down. And he will talk to me for the next 45 minutes. If I go this side, it's the vice principal. Sir James, is it you? Yes, sir. Come here. And I'm the junior most lecturer. Vacation, 5 days. Everybody wants to go home. Principal will say, if you can go to India, other end of the country, and come back in 5 days, you can go. After that, it will be without pay. Leave without pay. I will go to the principal and say, sir, I need to go home. I need to see my family. 5 days. But I will take another 5 days. So I'll come after 10 days. He will say, James, you go. I will write it as without pay, but I will see that you get your salary. All Gentile masters. One time we all are coming back. We all came back. Met at the border town. We cannot go up. Because landslide. The whole road is blocked. Everyone, I reached last. So they are all stuck at the border town. They all called the principal. He shouted at them. I don't care whether the road is blocked or not. You climb over the block and come climb over the mountains. The students are all here. The college is shut down. You all, I told you not to go. So they are all panicking. What to do? What to do? Then I reached the last day. They said, sir, principal is very angry. We don't know what to do. There's another route, long route you can go. I said, okay. But we don't know what is it. Okay, let's call. I went to the phone booth and called the principal. Sir, I said, James, hi, Sir James, how are you? I said, we are stuck here. No problem. Take the long route. And like one whole lot of sheep, 5 teachers behind me coming quietly to the campus. You know why? You need to have singleness when you go to your workplace. I know who my boss is. I am working there for Christ and I will give my best there. Best there. Singleness. Workplace, that's your witness, that's your testimony. Singleness. Because we are one with Him. We are not working for a salary, we are working for our Master. When Christ came and lived here and died, He was not working for a salary.
Okay. Look at the other one, Ephesians, Colossians 3:22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart. Fearing God. Fearing God. Where has those work ethics gone? Where has it gone? Now CCTV cameras, that also people will turn it if it's possible. And login, and our young boys all have found things where they can keep it on that pad, where it looks like they have logged in and they are there when they are not there. Where has your righteousness gone? What happened? Is this how you go? Is this, you need to ask, is that how Christ in me will work in the secular workplace? Thy image, thy likeness. Anything? Housewives? You know, it's a very terms, it's a very strange Indian construction, housewives. What other kinds of wives are there? Street wives are there? I don't know. Okay. Very Indian construction, housewives. Okay. I would rather say mothers. How do you cook? Do you give it singleness? And I go to the countryside when I preach in those villages and all, I say in their rural, rustic language, I say, have seen mothers, dining table is here, kitchen is here, TV is here. This is how they chop. I will tell them, you'll cut your fingers off, look there. TV, favorite program has come. It is from 11 to 11:45. 12, lunch should be ready. Singleness of eye at the TV. Think. How do you do your chores? Or do you, I don't like that word chore. Chores means like a burden. Right? I did my chores. Okay? Imagine Jesus finished. He rose and sat down. I finished my chores. Think about it, no? Angels will be, Jesus coming and said, I finished my chores. It is not a chore. It's a joy. Cooking should be a joy. Taking care of your children should be a joy. You should be able to enjoy everything. Do you have that singleness? Where has that generation gone? You have to bring the kingdom in, because in the kingdom, there is a king. There is a king. Everything you do is for him. Why I say is, God is first working on the inside. The image and the likeness. Dominion will come later. Because what happened is, the world took that message and took that dominion part and left the image and likeness. Both the Catholic and the Protestant Church. Do you know what the word basilia, from which basilica comes? Kingdom. Do you know why? That's why the archbishop is in the basilia? Because it's a kingdom. It's a prince. The cardinal are called the princes of the kingdom. That's why they rest in purple. And the pope is the king. Ex cathedra, he speaks for Christ. That's why he sits on a throne. They took that dominion theology, left the image and the likeness and ran with it and created so much confusion and bloodshed in this world. That's where the word basilia means, kingdom. That's why we have basilicas. There are 3 or 4 here in India too. St. Peter's. These are all basilicas. The Protestant Pentecostal movement, the entire prosperity gospel is based on dominion. They forgot the image. They forgot the likeness. So to exercise dominion, what do you need? Money. That's why they name it and claim it. So be very careful. Because he is restoring us back to his image and his likeness. And dominion is there. But be very, very careful about dominion. Because God did not give us the authority to dominate one another. The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the creatures of the land. Three realms, he said. Water, earth, and air. Not human beings. Because you all are made in my likeness. He said, look at us. The Father doesn't dominate the Son. The Son doesn't dominate the Spirit. The Father calls the Son, Lord, your throne is forever and ever. Son tells the Father, your will is my will. They don't dominate each other. The husbands don't dominate your wives. And wives don't dominate your husbands. Submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. With the singleness. That's how the kingdom works. Because the spirit has no gender. All this order that is given is for this realm, in this body, in the next realm, in the next body when we come back. We are not male and female. We are a different realm altogether. So be very careful. Your wife whom you dominated all your life may become your king. And your maid servant whom you abuse may rule over you. Be careful. Okay. So don't run with this. People, this dominion part, I understand and I'm very, very wary of it because it is flowing all around the world. God said, dominion, yes, I give you power. But that power is first and foremost, Romans 6:14, to dominate, have dominion over sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. But now you are a new creation, being restored to the image of God. And you need to understand God. God dominates sin always. Therefore, should you too. Dominate sin. Dominate sin. Have dominion over sin. Over for that, you have been given grace. The power of my own spirit. Listen to him. Obey him. You can dominate sin every time. And when you fall, get back. Repent. Don't listen to the lie of the enemy. Get back and continue walking your dominion over sin. And Luke 10:18, he will say, behold, I give you authority to trample upon snakes and scorpions. What is that? Powers of darkness under your feet. Learn how to exercise dominion over them. And not let them have dominion over you. That is dominion. This is what he did. This is the work of redemption. So when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Remember, the conflict is inside. It's a terrible conflict inside. Matthew 11:12 talks about that conflict. It says, from the days of John. Why from the days of John the Baptist? Because he's the one who declared the kingdom. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Who are they violent against? Themselves. They are violent against themselves. They are trying to dominate their flesh. They are trying to dominate powers of darkness if need to go into seasons of fasting. Because Jesus said these things will go only by fasting and prayer. And they realize this is the one that troubles me. Therefore I'm going to fast and bring that under my feet. So the violent take, the kingdom of God comes. But you will not do these things unless you see your eternal goal. What God is offering. It's an imperishable crown. Be part of the first resurrection. Reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And then in the new creation forever and ever. Like I said, what people are willing to do for a temporal thing.
That's why you should listen to Praneet, who walked with his baby outside to his testimony. What people will do to get into an IPL team? Ask him now. Honestly ask him now. What was the best thing that happened in your life? He said, on that day, I was rejected. If I had been accepted into the India team, he would have been destroyed. His name was in the list. The next list, his name was taken off. I believe it was done by God to protect him. Otherwise, you wouldn't see this man here, nor would you see that baby. For temporal things, you need to realize what people are willing to do and give up in this world. And here is God offering his children, reign with me forever and ever. And I will do it through you if you will allow me. Allow my spirit to restore you to the original image of the ruler. The image and the likeness of God. That's what God is talking about. And then persecution will come. And this is, don't worry about it. You have to, again, when you look at persecution, you have to look at eternity. It's huge. Matthew says, it's all connected with the kingdom. Matthew 5, verse 10 onwards. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you, persecute you, say all kinds of evil things against you falsely, for my sake, the king's sake. What does he say? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for say they persecuted the prophets who were before you. He says, on that day, he said, you will be rewarded. And if you are not facing it, there are only two reasons. Either you are not a witness, or we are living in a relatively righteous structure that gives us an outward protection. But that structure is being removed. That's why I look at this year and say, Lord, which way will this election go? I'm not worried about myself. I'm worried about the children. Which way is this election go? What is happening in this country? We've never seen anything like this. Never seen anything like this. Where's this country going? The structure has been dismantled right before our eyes. Look at US. The structure is being dismantled right before our eyes. Look at all around the world. And I look at all this world. What I see is kingdoms are rising. You read Daniel, you read Revelation, in the last days, kingdoms have to arise. And in the days of this kingdom, 10 the feet of iron and clay, strong yet unstable. In the days of these kings, the whole structure, when the feet is broken, the whole structure will collapse. The kingdom of God will take over. But before that, you need to read the Bible to know what will happen. And God have mercy on anyone who is there during that period. That's why we need to have motivation. What am I running for? Singleness. I'm running for the king. And I'm a kingdom person. It's going to be. And he himself said it. I didn't say it. He himself said it. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are being made, that things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So just look into your life and see. When adversity comes, when crisis comes, what gets shaken? Because the kingdom cannot be shaken. Kingdom cannot be shaken. God is allowing this so that we see inside where kingdom has come in, where kingdom has not come in. So don't make the mistake of the people made 2,000 years ago. The crowds came, excited they came, but they also left. Even the disciples left. The final scene around this time, 2,000 years back. Luke 17, 20 and 21. Luke 17, 20 and 21. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within. Everybody is talking. He's talking kingdom, 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 kingdom. Everybody is asking this question. By the time you fast forward a little few more days, by Luke 19 verse 11, they are all excited. Okay, Luke 19 verse 11. Sorry, Pastor Vijay, I didn't give it. And then we'll go to 36 onwards, okay? Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Now go to 36. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice, praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you, if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now when, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. They're shouting, Hosanna, 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 the kingdom is here. He's weeping because the kingdom is not here. It's not here. He wept, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes, for days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you on every. He said, everything will be destroyed. You know why? Because you didn't understand who came first. The king came first, not the kingdom. Don't make the same mistake they made. The first coming, he came to redeem us. The second coming, he's coming as a conquering king. But there are a lot of Christians who think the second time he's coming to redeem them. He's not coming to redeem them. It is appointed unto every man to die once. After that, it is judgment. The second time, Christ is appearing without sin. Not for redemption. Without sin. If you have doubt, read those verses. Hebrews 9, 27 and 28. The mistake they made, we can invert it and make the same mistake. It's written, as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin. Second time, he's not coming for redemption. He's coming to take over. It's a scary picture in Revelation 19, how he comes. So don't make that mistake they made. So this morning, let us read the final verses for today. John 19. Now it was preparation day of the Passover, about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, behold your king. They cried out, away with him. Away with him. Crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Next verses. 17 onwards here. And he, bearing his cross, went to a place called the place of skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. Two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews. But he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Two more verses, we shall stop. Romans 2, 28, 29. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is a circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. Circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, from God. On that day, the government of the world, the Roman government, put it there, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. So the question is, are you a Jew whose praise is from God? Is he your king? Because this Sunday, they called him their king. Next Sunday, they rejected him. Is he your king? It's a question. Because there is a king and there is a kingdom. And your purpose is not yet over. Nobody. If you don't know, you will find it. You will find it in your prayer closet. The first purpose is to restore the image. The second purpose is to be his witness. His witness, not your witness. His witness. And he will tell you, he will do it both. And you will discover it. So this morning we will stand up. Father, this morning we just stand before thee, Lord. You are our Father. And your Father who is in heaven. This morning, this 24th Sunday, fourth Sunday of this third month, we again look at your prayer, the template you gave us. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want to pray just for ourselves, Lord. This has to be true for me. This has to be true for each one. One day at a time. Starting today. Help us to remember we have no other name but your name. We don't belong to this world. We are part of your kingdom. And we are not here to do our will, but to do your will. It was your will that we should not perish. That's why we are here. It is your will, our sanctification. Therefore we can boldly pray, Lord, sanctify us daily. Because it is your will. It is your will that we pray without ceasing, so we can ask you, Lord, help me to be consciously be praying. It is your will that we give you thanks in everything, so we can pray, Lord, help us to be grateful in everything, little things and the big things, for everyone in our lives. For it is your will. For you said, to pray thy will be done. And these are things we already know is your will. To rejoice always. It is your will. It is written in your word. It is your will. Not just when good things happen, then we are just like the world. But to rejoice like Paul and Silas, even in the midnight hour. Whether we have in abundance or in debt, in sickness or in health, in good times or in bad times, because it is your will, because we realize we are kingdom people, and joy is a manifestation of the kingdom. It is your will. To pray always, it is your will. And to pray above all for thy kingdom to come. To pray, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. We don't want to be fake Christians. We don't want religion. We are tired of religion. Change us, Lord. Change us. Change us. Constantly. Help us to be a loving, a righteous, an increasingly holy people. Touch young and old. Protect our children, Lord. Our little children here. Guard their hearts and minds from the world. They are a special generation. They are a very special generation. Let them not get hooked to the TV or anything of the world, Lord. Let them be special. And they are special. Let their hearts and minds be formatted by your word and by your spirit. Let them be kingdom children. Innocent of evil. But excellent of everything that is good. Willing and obedient, that they may partake the best of your life. And our young ones who have strayed away, restore them, Lord. Restore them. May your mighty hand work salvation in their lives. Thank you, Father. As we go through this world, help us to walk as kingdom people everywhere. When your children, boys and girls, young men and women go to their workplaces, schools, college, let them dress like kingdom people, walk like kingdom people, talk like kingdom people. Let nothing unclean come out of their tongues. Let them speak respectfully, that their words would make people stop and ponder. And when they dress, they will know the kingdom language is modesty. Everyone. Because that's our witness. Thank you, Father, for everyone. Your hand be there upon everyone, Lord. Empower us to walk that walk and to talk that talk. That you may receive all the glory, the honor, the power, and the praise. For in Jesus' name we pray. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us. Amen. Amen.